Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's talk a little college football with Ben Kercheval from CBS Sports. He's back on the Mahogany Waxing Up. How you been, Ben?
Been great, Scotty. How about you?
I'm good. So I wanted to start with like these games that you wrote about and do those, and then I'll ask you some of mine, all right?
Yes, sir.
Let's start with that Utah State LSU game, because I am interested in that game. That number went from 25 to 28. Bottom line is that I get it. LSU's loaded, more talented, more athletic, more everything. But Utah State is a decent football team. I mean, legitimately decent, and they mean business. They have the same record. I know they don't play the same type of schedule, but, I mean, giving them four touchdowns, I mean, seriously, that's a decent team. Do you think LSU blows them out by, like, you know, 29, 30, 35 points? Seriously?
Yeah, that's a lot, especially given, too, that I think this is a classic look-ahead game with Florida coming up next week. Utah State, like you said, not the type of team that you can sleep on. I think if you even dive further into it, Jordan Love is their quarterback. And this is a kid who, if he's not on people's radar yet, he needs to be. He doesn't play in a power conference, so he's not a household name to a lot of people. But for the past year or so, I mean, he's really been tearing it up. He was lights out last year. He's been, you know, good this year. It's six touchdowns through four games, second in the Mountain West in total yards per game that he averages over 300. Big kid, too, 6'4", 225, good arm, good receivers to throw to. And they play a style of offense that is similar to LSU's in terms of the tempo that they use. I think with the injuries that LSU has on defense, especially up front, you're talking about another team that wants to run tempo. That makes it harder to get in and out of personnel shifts. You got to be comfortable with what you have on the field defensively.
Right.
Utah State is able to exploit other power conference teams. They took Wake Forest to the wire in week one this year. So, like you said, I think I our line on that one when we first did it was maybe like 25 and a half. You said it's jumped up to about four touchdowns. That is an awful lot to give LSU there. I think LSU wins that game. They might even win it comfortably by, like, you know, 20, 21 points. I would not take them to cover in this game.
You even like the Aggies at 26.5 is what you had on here. So, listen, I love the, no pun intended, the kid Love. He's huge. And, you know, I think he's got some liabilities. The offense isn't that great, like who he's throwing to, et cetera. But I agree with you that he's exciting to watch play, and maybe he'll make a game of it. That's what I'm hoping for. By the way, I wanted to mention one other thing. You mentioned the Wake game. Can you even believe that the Deacon team's 5-0?
Actually, I can. Dave Clawson is low-key like one of the best coaches in the country. They are, Scotty, 9-1, I think, in their last like 10 games or something like that. I mean, or something like that away from home. He's been very, very good dating back in the last year. Jamie Newman as a quarterback, ever since they really went with him, I mean, he's been taking over. He's another big kid, too, and they love sort of that really slow mesh zone read look with him. And then they've just got receivers for days. That Clawson has just been operating at a really high level over the past couple of years. And they just churn out, like, you know, borderline NFL quality wide receivers with good quarterback play. You know, in the ACC, we know Clemson's the best team. And so there's sort of this debate more of, okay, well, who's that number two? Is it Virginia? Is it somebody else? I think Wake absolutely has a case to be that number two.
So, Ben Kercheval with us. I like that Oklahoma State-Texas Tech game in Lubbock. Jet Duffy, we'll see what he can do now. They're at home. And they got size. You wrote about it on their, you know, outside. They can throw the ball up there.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a shot against Oklahoma State, a team that's 4-1, Tech's 2-2? But I think that game, you know, being at home, I think it makes it very interesting. And Oklahoma State's laying double digits.
Yeah, you know, Texas Tech, that Lubbock magic that has always sort of been associated with them at home, it's been gone in more recent years, but they've played better at home. And I think giving Jet Duffy practice with the ones this week, he's a more mobile guy. It makes it a little bit harder for defenses to defend on both of those aspects of it. And look, he's got some skill. He's just never been the full-time starter. That length down the field is really going to be key for them. The thing is Oklahoma State has some physical cornerbacks, so I think there's going to be a lot of 50-50 balls that they have to win, some tight windows that they're going to have to get some victories on. The big thing, though, for me, is if Texas Tech is going to have a chance to win this game, this is probably the liability part of it, is it's actually going to have to come on defense, because Chuba Hubbard is the best running back in college football that maybe nobody's talking about right now. He leads the country in total yards. He's not going to put up the Barry Sanders individual numbers from his Heisman winning year, but man, he's going to put up a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns. He's a future, probably two contract NFL guy. And look, Texas Tech, not a great defense, especially not against the run. But we think about Oklahoma State as this, you know, throw it around, throw a bunch of passes, wide open offense. Mike Gundy has really fallen in love with Hubbard as running back. I think if Oklahoma State's going to come out, survive and advance on the road, he's that type of grinder, third, fourth quarter guy you want to let it ride with.
So you like Boston College on the road at Louisville?
I do. This was one of those weird things for me, because Boston College is coming off that really bad loss to Kansas. It wasn't just that they lost to Kansas. I mean, they got annihilated by Kansas. But the big thing for Boston College this year, I think part of the reason why you're seeing them taking that step back, they don't have that pass rush. They lost Zach Allen from a year ago. They really took some big hits along that defensive line. But Louisville's, they're really more of a run-heavy team. They're not a passing team. And very quietly, I don't think the numbers suggest that they are that far apart from one another, even though, you know, Louisville would be favored in this game by about a touchdown. I think Boston College defensively has started to play better. We mentioned Wake a little bit earlier in the segment. They lost last week to Demon Deacons, but it was really close, and they played about three really good quarters of defense. I think you get A.J. Dillon in that backfield. They have another guy that they're very comfortable with, too. Ground and pound. I think BC grinds out one of those really ugly, maybe like 2-3 point wins on the road.
Minnesota's undefeated. They're at home against Illinois, but all their games have been tight, and you think Illinois is going to cover that big number?
Yeah, I do. Minnesota 4-0, but you know, they're one of those teams, Scotty, where, you know, the line sometimes between like 1-3 and 4-0 is like really small. That to me is what Minnesota is. The line between for them being a possibly like 6-6 team and 9-3 team is the margin is so thin for them. And you know, I think one thing that Illinois has done really well this year is they've created a lot of chaos, havoc in the backfield. Their defensive front is really formidable. They get into the backfield, and you're going against the Minnesota offense that, you know, I think has put up some good numbers against some lesser defenses. But I think against a conference division, the divisional opponent, no less, I think Illinois is going to have some success with this. If this were in Champaign, I would be tempted to take Illinois straight up. But I think if you give me a 2-touchdown dog against Minnesota on the road, I think Illinois has got the defense to cover that.
You're taking the Beavers at the Rose Bowl against UCLA, because after UCLA had that upset of Washington State, they really kind of – I mean, it was bad against Arizona. Yeah. They blew the end of that game.
Yeah, they really did. And, you know, you go back to that Washington State game where UCLA won. They scored 50 second half points. Well, you know how that happened? Because Washington State turned the ball over 6 times and gave away 2 special teams touchdowns. I mean, that is how you lose a game every single time. And when you look at UCLA's body of work outside of those final, not even 30 minutes, final 18 minutes, the reality is they haven't been any better. They haven't been improved at all. And now you're bringing an Oregon State rushing offense into this game that is really formidable, a little bit banged up, but I think on the bend. And they can run the ball, and you're putting that against a UCLA defense that hasn't really, you know, proved that it can do a whole lot. I certainly don't trust that Chip Kelly offense that it's turned a corner yet. So to me, that's one of those plays where even though Oregon State is not a very good football team, I think they've been much improved from a year ago. The wins just haven't fallen. I think the Beavers straight up at UCLA is actually probably a little bit on the safer side if you want to take a dog.
Ben Kercheval with us from CBS Sports. I got to ask you, Tennessee, you wrote about Fulmer is not going to go down on the sideline and coach, and that he believes in Pruitt. I got to tell you, on this show, I've said many times, Ron in Knoxville, I've said it over and over, that at this point, it's been such a disaster what's gone on in Knoxville with everything with their football program. It's been so embarrassing with the, you know, going through like 11 names for the coach. I mean, it was so bad. And in my view, they shouldn't change anything. They should just for once, even if they're losing, just stick with this guy through thick and thin, because their constant change, I think, is only making it worse. And I agree that they should keep him in that job and not have Phil Fulmer come down. I brought it up. Should Phil Fulmer get back into coaching? And I think the answer is no. And you believe that as well?
Well, yeah, and I would also say this. You mentioned the constant turnover. You know, if you tally up bad hires, and we'll find out if Pruitt is a bad hire for Tennessee in, you know, in time. But if you add up bad hires, those set your program so much further back than a good hire can propel you. And now Tennessee's gone on 2, 3, just, you know, hires in a row where it just hasn't worked out. But every time you make that change after 2 years, 3 years, you've hit the reset button for another 3 to 4, maybe even 5 years before you're able to get back to where you even want to get again. So just because you have that turnover, it doesn't always mean that it's going to be better the next time. It's easy to fire the guy. Getting the next one who's actually going to be able to do something for you is much harder. And I will say this for Pruitt. He's recruiting well. They are very young. I think they have some really good freshmen that are going to do some nice things for them in a couple of years. They don't have a quarterback right now. They're in a division that is now dominated by Georgia and Florida. It's going to take them 4 years before they're able to get back to where they even close to where they want to be. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think you got to stick with Pruitt. I don't know if he's the long-term answer, but you have to give him a fair shake. This 1.5 and done, not going to do it for you.
Yeah, and they'll probably get their ass beat by Georgia, I would think. And then who do you like in that Michigan State-Ohio State game in Columbus under the lights?
Oh, Ohio State.
Just going to, I mean, no problem, lay the 20?
Yeah, I'll lay the 20 on that one. Their defense is so good. Chase Young, I think, is the best player in college football, offense or defense. I think he's the best player. They have more first-round guys in that defensive secondary. Justin Fields has been everything that I think people wanted him to be. They have wide receivers for days, good running back, good line play. Michigan State has a really hard time blocking. Michigan State's best hope is that Ohio State plays down, and then when they use tempo with offense, I think Michigan State can have some success. But you're going to tell me that Spartans haven't been able to block anybody for 4 years. You're going to put them up against Chase Young on the road? No. I think I'm going to take Ohio State.
You're the man, Ben. Great stuff as always. It's good having you on the bench. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right. Take care, Scotty.
All right. Ben Kercheval, CBS Sports college football writer.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.